You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports, the GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hour one was brought to you by Newick Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast and the kayaks, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Go check them out, newickoutfitters.com. Hour two, which is where we are now, brought to you by Chris's Paving. ChrisPaving.com, driveways, parking lots, overlays. Locally owned and operated, your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. If you're paving it at all, give them a call. 985-960-2131. If you can't remember that number like me, ChrisPaving.com.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more that, what, that Camel Wednesday hump day.
Today coming up in hour number three, Corey Brown, head coach of Enola Gold, was set to join us last hour at a meeting. Pop up, because, you know, he's a coach. Things like that happen. So you'll join us at 2:30 to preview his team's game coming up Saturday over at the Shrine on Airline, Gold Mine on Airline, whatever you want to call it. 3 o'clock against Miami. Trying to snap a two-game losing streak. Sean Fox, 2:15.
And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
Ralph Marlboro will join us next segment, 8 days from the first round of the NFL draft. Who would have thought you'd be looking forward to that in the city? With where we were just 2 weeks ago, your New Orleans Pelicans were in fourth spot of the Western Conference. And they sit here today on Wednesday, April 17th, needing to win one more game to get in to the postseason after failing to win on Sunday, after failing to win, after going 1-5 in that six-game homestand, after failing to win on Sunday, and then yesterday, despite 40 points by Zion Williamson, they came up short and lost by 4. Zion last night, 40 points.
Williamson, season high, 38 points. He's been fantastic. He drives on Anthony Davis, and he scoops it in over the front iron with a left hand. He's got an even 40.
He drives right. He switches back left because he wants to get to his left hand. Anthony Davis is off balance. He's caught unawares, and that's a teardrop from Z.
Timeout, Darvin Ham and the Lakers.
You waited 5 years for Zion to get into the postseason. And on that play, for Adrian Wojnarowski, he suffered a left hamstring injury in the report that Woj just dropped, and it's not a Woj bomb, it's a Woj iceberg. Per his sources, he's not only out on Friday, but he will be, quote, evaluated again in coming weeks. You were hoping that maybe it wasn't that serious and you could see him. Maybe even if you get into that round against OKC, you may still. I don't know. I'm just, everything that these guys post or report, it's very purposeful. They're very meticulous as to what they say. Reevaluate it next week. Reevaluate it in coming days. Evaluate it again in coming weeks. That S, that's the concerning part of it. That's not Sunday, game one, against the Thunder if you win. That's not game two, Tuesday. Game three is next Saturday at the Smoothie King Center if they win Friday against the Kings. So there you go. I don't know if this, if I can think of two back-to-back gut punches like Pels fans have had to endure in the last two games. Show up Sunday. It felt like a playoff game. It smelled like a playoff game. The Lakers treated it like a playoff game. For whatever reason, Pels just did not compete that day. I thought you'd see a better game yesterday. You did, to an extent. Zion Williamson put on his best game. Finally, in the postseason. There he is. There it is. The other two max players didn't help much. C.J. McCollum struggled from the floor. Brandon Ingram struggled so much that head coach Willie Green did not put him in, even when Zion Williamson went out. 800-998-1003 on the Ruderman Ken Caller Hotline, 800-998-1003. We got Ralph Marlborough next segment. Rest of this hour is open. Pels fans, how do you feel now? Got post-game sound. We can hear it. We can get into it. We'll take your phone calls here as well. But that is not the news you want to hear. Coming weeks is when he will be evaluated. Trevor, what's up, man? How are you?
Well, I've been better, Gus. I've been a lot better. But I was at the game last night. Mm-hmm. I set my $30 on fire. Not too mad about it. But got to get this off my chest. I'm there with my own two eyes watching Zion get absolutely clobbered by three giants and still making it with no foul call. So, I mean, to me, it's pretty clear, and I'm going to get into what we can control about this.
Sure.
To me, it's clear the NBA wants LeBron in the playoffs. I saw a stat, like, when they're comparing their free throws against their opponent, the Lakers have.
Oh, it's not even close.
Over 1,000 more. Yeah. Second place is mixed with 330. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what that's. You can do what you want with that.
Trevor, I'm going to pause you for 1 second. I have that highlight.
Williamson trying to rectify that. Triple team. Where's the foul? My goodness!
That is.
Lays it in. Where is it?
That is ridiculous.
Prince for three. No. Strong side rebound. Williamson is seventh. That's three bodies that fouled Williamson.
By the way, one of those was Jackson Hayes in the restricted area. Jackson Hayes,
yep.
Defensive player of the year, apparently.
It was very frustrating. But the only way I see that we can combat that, what's in our control, is you got to go out there and foul those guys super hard, get the game chippy, get it a little like it could be a fight, and then you force the ref's hand because the ref's got to control the game, you know? So I hate being dirty, but, you know, you got to foul AD really hard, get everybody a little chippy, like it almost did. You know, because that's the only way you're going to get the refs to, like, call some fouls. Because if they start getting really physical, like, you know, they can't have that. So, like, I know that's not everyone's cup of tea, but, like, in that situation when you're really, like, getting the screws that bad, I feel like that's the only thing you do. And then Willie's not animated at all. Why is he not mid-court defending his players, defending Zion, running out there screaming at them? Like, are you, like, when is that egregious? You got to. I don't know. When I see three people clobbering my star player and nothing's getting called and Anthony Davis is getting blowed on, like, at that point, I'm not cool with that.
Look, man, they had four free throw attempts in the first half. The Pelicans. And in the end of that game, in the last 3 minutes, minute and a half there, Pel still had a chance. And look, like I said, I know it's hindsight 2020 and all of that. I just keep saying, man, they just kept feeding AD down in the paint, and he went to the free throw line like six times in that final inning, you know. And Jonas wasn't there. I'm not saying that Jonas would have stopped them or not, but they attacked Larry Nance there in the paint. That's just what they did. I could be wrong. Those fouls maybe still would have been called or not. I don't know, but. It just stinks. That matters, right? I mean, when you look at when you're talking about the free throw disparity there, 29 attempts for them, 15 for you. 10 for James, 10 for Davis, that's 20. Those two players went to the free throw line more than your entire team. You're playing at home. You lose by four. It matters.
It didn't make a difference Sunday. It did tonight. And also, I mean, I love CJ. He's a great guy, but you can't come out and give us nine in a critical game. Like, I know he's been on a heater, but, like, I need a little more consistency. Like, I need at least 15. I need 15. I can't have nine. And one of those was a two-pointer at the end of the game when we needed a three. Like, I just can't have that. That's what, unacceptable. And I have a little bit of a hot take. Like, did that little trial with Taysom at quarterback? Why don't we try a little trial with Jose? Let him run the point because we need a true point guard. Just a suggestion. Maybe he's not the guy we go to long term. I'd like to see Trae Young but mm-hmm. Why don't we give that a little trial? I mean, Jose, maybe he's not consistent enough also, but I mean, we got to try some maybe next season. But
I will say this to your point, Trevor. I just think there's enough now where you know, you can pull up a game where they didn't score in the last 3 minutes and 50 seconds. You can pull up a game where the three-point shots didn't go in. You can pull up any of those things, and whether it's Zion, whether it's Willie Green or someone else, the phrase, the offense became stagnant. The ball wasn't moving or passing and things of that nature. And to your point, I want to play a Trey Murphy bite from yesterday in which he was talking about on the struggles shooting overall. Listen to this, about passing the ball more.
I mean, no, honestly, I think we just missed a lot of shots. Like, I was short on really every single miss that I had. CJ was also short. It just happens. I don't think it was too much of what they were doing. I think it was more so on us and our offense and, you know, just trying to generate good looks. That's
right.
It.
So that's them, you know, not being able to shoot here at home. This is the bite that I was trying to get to right here.
Just in general with basketball, like more than likely you're going to be able to break down a defense if you're able to move the ball. And so for us, especially with the makeup of our team, when we're moving the ball, it makes it a lot easier and a lot more open space for Z because, I mean, a lot of times he has the ball in his hand. And, you know, if you got to put guys around him that can space the floor. So, you know, if we're stagnant, they're able to load up on us, and really any NBA team can guard stagnant offense.
Trevor, that bite was cut last night at game 83, and we're still with the stagnant, the lack of ball movement, and they know it. They know it. And that's the frustrating element from my standpoint. I can't imagine what it's like from a fan standpoint. You know it. So what is stopping it? And there was a clip, I think it was Pro Pels Talk that put it up there, or Pels Film Room, somebody did. They're up 90-89. They inbounded under the basket, and that's the shot that Brandon Ingram took, contested by Austin Reeves, with 23 seconds on a shot clock. Larry Nance and CJ McCollum off the inbound both back up and go to a certain spot, left wing, right wing. So there was a play clearly designed for that. If B.I. passes right to Larry, who likely will then pass it to CJ, now again, he may brick it, but it is a wide-open three-point attempt. Instead, it's a contested shot with 23 seconds on the shot clock. So it's the frustrating element of it is it's not just one thing. It's a culmination of things. But at the same time, and look, and I'm not calling for anything. I'm just saying when you look at the team that's the number one team in the Western Conference, they're a young team. Do you want to look up teams in the clutch? Go look at where OKC is. They've played more clutch games, and they've won. Overwhelming most of them. It's coaching. They know what to do, where to go, and how to do it, and guys execute. If you're 83 games in, and your team is still failing to execute, simple things like that, or understanding how to not be stagnant, or not be kind of looking for your identity in game 83, It's very alarming, to be honest with you. You should know who you are and go to battle with it. If you lose going to battle with who you are, in the offseason you address it, change it, or add to it. And that's my thing that I'm taking so far, my theme towards the end of this season. If this team does not win on Friday, it's mind-boggling to me that it feels like they've gone to trying to be a small ball team in the last month when I don't know if that's I can say what they did in October, November, December, and January. I could be wrong, but I didn't feel that. It feels like they're trying to be something different.
I agree. And I got one more thing to say, and I'm going to hang up and open the lines up for you and listen. You said we need clutch-time players. We also need clutch-time coaching. There was 1:30. We had come all the way back, tied it up. We created a turnover. We got the ball. 1:30 left. We had like three timeouts or two. Use one of them. I think it was two. Use one of them. Set up a play. Instead, what do? It was either a turnover or a terrible shot. Willie's got to be more clutch than that himself, too. Can't have 1:30 tie game, no Zion on the court, and get a turnover and don't call a timeout and, like, talk about it. Write something up on the clipboard. But I'm going to hang up because I got to get back to work. To listen to you guys.
All right, man. Thank you, Trevor. Appreciate the phone call, man. Quick break. We come back. We'll speak with Marlboro on ESPN New Orleans.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Mr. Ralph Marlboro, as always, I appreciate the time because Well, I need something. I need a distraction here, Ralph. So give me a distraction. Zion Williamson per Adrian Wojnarowski out Friday, but more importantly, will be evaluated in the coming weeks.
This is the most Pelican thing that ever Pelicaned, Gus. I mean, basically, if you told me, Ralph, you need to explain 20 years of Pelican/Hornet fans' sadness, frustration, and you need to do it in less than 15 seconds. I would show Zion's basket last night, tying a playoff game with like 3 minutes to go. Crowd is bananas. He's hurt. It encapsulates everything about my Pelicans fandom the last 20 years in 10 seconds.
I mean, you know what? I'm trying to come up with reasons. I've asked fans to, you know, give me something. Like, what did you personally do? Is it like a collective thing of the city of New Orleans? Did we party too much? Is it because of Mardi Gras? Did you cut off too many people in traffic? Or how about this one? I got a text from somebody. Tom Benson sold his soul to win the Super Bowl, so he was given it. And then since then, nothing's gone right. From Nola no call to Pierre Thomas being concussed on the first drive against the 49ers. I mean, yeah. Alex Smith looked like, you know, Steve Young. I mean, it really hasn't gone well since 2009. Anthony Davis, Zion, you name it. So maybe that's what happened, man. Maybe he signed a contract.
I don't know. You know, I like that philosophy. Maybe the devil, like, the devil cut the deal, but during the 2017 draft, like, the devil went on vacation.
Yeah.
And he forgot to notify somebody, like, what to do.
Yeah, you're
or,
right.
Like, fell asleep. Like, oh, whoa, what happened?
Yep.
They had a hateless draft. Oh, we'll put that. Don't worry.
I got you. I got you back in 2019 with the Nola no call.
That's right.
Minneapolis Miracle. Yeah, no, I'm being serious. Like, if I give you a sheet of paper, tell me the positive things that have happened to the Saints and Pelicans since 2009, and then list for me the things that have made you go, you got to be kidding me, that have happened to the Saints and Pelicans since 2009.
I mean, it's endless, man. This, dude, Gus, it's not even top five on the list of, like, most painful things. But here's the thing. The Saints haven't had a healthy quarterback since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's probably not even top 10 on, like, if we combined a list of, like, most painful NOLA sports things.
Yeah.
Like, the Saints not having a healthy quarterback since 2018 wouldn't make the top 10. But it's pretty bad and pretty brutal and pretty awful.
All right. You know what? I need a distraction. 8 days before the first round of the NFL draft, and then another story can come up because, no, they can't. There's no way they botched this up, right? Right, Ralph? I mean, I just saw in a photo Mrs. Benson's hanging out with the Pope in Italy. You can go enjoy yourself because there's no way you don't take a tackle. Do you feel confident 8 days away that a tackle will be taken at 14 overall?
I'm not as confident as
come
other
on.
People.
Wow.
I'm not as – here's why, Gus. I think one, the defensive players on this draft aren't rated as high as other years. And two, I look around the league and I see offensive line play is as bad as it's ever been. Teams' offensive lines are terrible. They can't find offensive linemen. They can't develop them. It's bad. I think teams are shutting their mouths and leaking about the receivers and the corners and this and that. I think there's a distinct possibility that we're there at 14 and we're like, oh my gosh, there's one of these tackles left. And there's a possibility, I think, that the Saints have them rated in tiers and are like, listen, we like these two guys. The rest of them, we have low first, early second round grade. We're not going to reach. We did that with Penning. That was a disaster. We're taking Mitchell the corner. We're taking this guy. And we're going to be like, oh, my goodness, what did they just do? I think there's a possibility of that happening, Gus, at 14. And if I'm wrong, laugh at me next Friday.
Okay. I hope I'm not laughing at you. Because I will be very disappointed. No, I mean, look, they've got, well, we'll see what happens there. Look, but this is going to be the time, right? I mean, kind of prep fans. Mm-hmm. What are we going to see here in the next couple of days? Maybe not so much with the Saints, but this information. We really love this guy. You're going to have your favorite reporter say they really love this guy. They may move up. I saw a mock draft. I think it was Jeremy Fowler yesterday from ESPN. I meant to bring it up to you today. They have the Saints moving up to get Malik Nabers at 6.
Yes! Fire Elmo emoji. Let's go! The guy that could make us go, we need a tackle. Get Nabers. I do think, I don't think the Saints would move up to get a receiver, but Gus, if something happened and a receiver was there, because here's the thing, right? And this was my co-host, Andrew Deutsch. He did this in a mock draft for us last night. He made this point. He's like, I know we need a tackle. We probably need two tackles. But here's the thing. If Adunze, if Nabers is there at 14, right, and you really believe that they're going to be like top 20-ish receivers, do you want to draft an Andres Pete and then in 3 years be like, well, we had to take a tackle, and meanwhile, Nabers is doing 100 catches, 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns a year. And you're like, well, we needed a tackle, and we got an average tackle. So, like, I just think that's the question to me.
Man.
Is there a guy, receiver, corner, who is there a guy at another premium position that could be there at 14 that would make the Saints say, we're not taking a tackle? And I don't know that that's the case. I just worry that, like, Jim Harbaugh loves offensive line. The Bears need a tackle. The Raiders need a tackle. The Jets even need a tackle,
they
right?
They really need a tackle.
Tennessee needs a tackle. Like, you're talking 5 teams that could potentially take tackles. They all won't, but let's say 3 of them do. Mm. Then, great tackle class, boom, suddenly you're in the aisle and there's nothing left to get. So, I'm just saying, it's a lot to think about. Also, Gus, we need Commissioner Goodell. He needs to hammer the Falcons on tampering. He needs to take that first-round pick away from them.
I love it.
Teach Arthur Blank a lesson.
Yes.
He's old, and he might not be able to learn lessons, but I think the elderly need to learn lessons too. Uh-huh. I think Atlanta, the 8th pick, just needs to disappear.
It's very interesting how quiet that has been, huh? Kirk Cousins can hang out and talk to the trainers. They can have conversations before, you know. What tampering? They're just saying hi, Ralph. They just happen to be at a Chick-fil-A hanging out. Okay, so look, a lot of attention is going to be on Thursday, but obviously you don't have right now a third and a fourth. You have a gazillion fifth-round picks. You do have your second. Would you agree with me? An argument that I'm placing is that second-round pick just as important as that first-round pick.
100%. Because the thing is, the Saints, they need – we've talked about it. They need bodies. And here's the thing that I think is really interesting. I was listening to another podcast. Randy Mueller he's a former Saints GM. And he made the point that this year's draft, he doesn't really think it's as deep as previous years. And he's like, after about 100, 110 guys, this draft isn't so great. Normally – I'd be like, whatever, that's just one guy's opinion. But I know him and Mickey Loomis are still close, right? So when Randy Mueller says, I don't like this draft past about 110 guys, my ears perk up. Gus, I'm telling you, those 5 fifth-round picks, I'll be stunned.
They're moving up.
The Saints make because I just think the Saints are going to package 2 of the 5th.
Yep.
Get in the 4th.
Bag of beignets.
They might pack. I could see the Saints packaging 2 of the 5ths, getting into the 4th, and packaging 2 more of the 5ths, and next year's 4th, and getting into the 3rd. And we're like, wow, the Saints just got 4 top 110 players, and their draft is finished for 2024. I think that's a distinct possibility. And look, it's high risk because we know the draft is a crapshoot. More volume of picks give you a better chance. But listen, the Saints, their modus operandi is – we trust our board. We love our board. We're going to get our guys. So I just think I'll be stunned if the Saints make all 4 of those fifth-round picks. I just – like, that's not missing Mickey Loomis's way, man. He's going to get an answer. You think You think that man is going to let 110 picks go by without him making a selection? You think the Saints are going to wait from pick 45 to 150? Get out of here.
Yeah, that is a very good point. Very good point. Ralph, as always, man, appreciate the time, sir. And when we talk again next week, we'll be in the eve of the NFL draft. We'll have fun. Your favorite draft pick, not so favorite draft pick, and worst case scenario. Right. We're going to have all of that next week.
Ooh, I like that.
Sound good?
Can't wait. It's almost here. I cannot wait.
There he goes. Ralph Marlboro, Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Thank you, man. Appreciate it so much. We'll be back. ESPN 1.
The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, welcome back. It is the Sports Hangover, 800-991-003. Chris's Paving, chrispaving.com. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, you name it. Locally owned and operated asphalt, concrete. Just go to the website, chrispaving.com. See all of the things that they're able to do. The official announcement and update by the Pelicans just posted. Pelicans announcing today that forward Zion Williamson has been diagnosed with a left hamstring strain. An MRI taken this morning confirmed the injury. Williamson will be re-examined in approximately 2 weeks. So that is the official update by the team. So that gives you an idea as to why they, or Adrian Wojnarowski's initial tweet from a little bit ago, the Woj Titanic iceberg, as I had it back then, is will be evaluated in the coming weeks. So 2 weeks' time, I guess if I'm trying to be really optimistic here, if the Pels win on Friday, all right, so 2 weeks' time will be evaluated. So we're looking at two Wednesdays from now, right? Is that what it'd be? Two Wednesdays, so we're looking at May 1st. May 1st is when he'll be evaluated. Now, again, it's not getting into shape, conditioning, and that's if everything goes well. If you look at the time frame, game one against OKC is Sunday. This is if the Pels win. They will take on Oklahoma City. Game one, Sunday, 8:30 p.m. Game two is Wednesday against OKC in OKC, 8:30 p.m. Saturday, the 27th. So not this Saturday, next Saturday. And that's 1 week, right? Next Wednesday would be the 24th. That's 1 week. Saturday the 27th would be game three. That is game one at home for the Pelicans. Game four is Monday, the 29th. Game 5 is Wednesday, May 1st. That is the 2 weeks frame. So you would have played 4 games, and on the day to be reevaluated, again, this is if it goes 2 weeks to the day, the Pels are in, they win Friday, they don't get swept. Game 5 is 2 weeks. I can't see he's ready that day. Could he be back available for Game 6 and 7? Game 6 is Friday the 3rd at Oklahoma City. And, I'm sorry, in New Orleans here. And then on Sunday the 5th, he'll be back at Oklahoma City. So it's OKC Games 1 and 2. New Orleans games 3 and 4. OKC would be the game 5. New Orleans game 6. OKC game 7. Game 7 is the 5th. Game 6 is the 3rd. Game 5 is the 1st of May. That is 2 weeks from today. Per the Pelicans, that is when Zion will be evaluated again. That doesn't mean he's ready. That means he's playing. That doesn't mean anything. I'm just giving you a time frame based off of the first round. So, why am I doing that? Okay, well, first off, you're hoping that you win and you move on. That said, this is what the team is doing right now, right? Because you want to go into the game Friday thinking you're going to win. So now, I don't know if this is a beneficial thing or not, but at least I have a plan. I know I'm not getting Zion back to probably game 6 on the 3rd of May, and that is if everything goes great. He feels great. The conditioning is great. Everything is great. Great, great, great. And that would be in New Orleans. I got to get to game 6 if that is even happening. Point is, Willie Green and the Pelicans, first, you got to go win Friday. But if that happens, you can at least know, okay, this is the squad we're going with. I mean, that you have to get likely to the second round to probably get a healthy Zion for him to be a determining factor in that series. So the reason I'm bringing that up is because that's the time frame the team has given you, which tells you you're likely or, well, not likely, you're going to have to win Friday's game without him, and you're likely going to have to advance into the second round without him. So there's hope that the second round, he'll be back healthy, ready to go. He could be back by game 6, but you got to get to game 6. so that's where we are. 2 weeks from today is May 1st. That would be game 5 here in New Orleans if that takes place. I mean, I'm sorry, in OKC. If that takes place. So the phone lines we go, 800-998-1003 on the Ruderman Can caller and guest hotline. Cajun Goat, how are you?
Better than Zion. Miami's pretty good. Gus, it's so sad, and I feel for this kid.
Yeah.
Because he was about to make a name for himself. He was about to throw all them doubters under the bus. And this had to happen, man. And that's what I feel for today. Not the Pelicans, not the fans. I feel for that kid, man. He played spectacular. And I'm going to tell you, he made my – you know what? What happens here on out, it doesn't matter to me right now. What mattered was when LeBron took that charge that Zion gave him. Woo! Did you see that, Gus?
Uh-huh.
Did you see Zion knock LeBron clean off his feet with his legs in the air and hit the ground?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. All right, that made my night. But and I can say this, and I don't know, but the Lakers were tired. I mean, LeBron and AD were tired at the end of this game. But I don't have anything nice to say about Willie Green. Our coach decided that maybe not throwing a 7-foot-1 guy in there at the end of the game when Zion went out and keep pounding those guys inside because they had no answers for any inside game was not the way to go. And, Gus, the sad thing about this team is that they gave this man a 3-year extension. He is not – I don't care if he won 50 games. It's because of the talent you have, not the coach you have. The coach coached you out of being a 1, 2, or 3 seed because he had 10 to 11 games that he blew it with the lineups he threw in the game. He blew it because he don't know how to call a timeout. He blew it for all kind of reasons, okay? This team is not going to get better. I don't care if you go get the next coming of the best point guard, Magic Johnson point guard that you can find. He won't know how to coach it, okay? He will not know how to coach it. How many point guards did the Lakers beat us with last night? Did they have a point guard? Oh, that's right. LeBron is pretty much their point guard, right?
That's rhetorical.
And he plays the same position as who? Zion.
Yeah.
Gus, it all comes down to the coach and knowing what you have. You're not going to have the perfect team. Willie needs the perfect team in order to win these kind of games. He needs a perfect team. I need the perfect center. I need the perfect center. I need the perfect point guard. He's still not going to know how to coach it, Gus. He's proved that throughout the year. You said, hey, let's see what we do with a full team. We've had a full team, Gus. He can't do anything with it. When it comes down to
let me pause you real quick. Let me pause you real quick because you brought up something that somebody brought up yesterday on the show and on Monday as well. That I do find interesting that I think it might be either a talking point or something that will be discussed here in the offseason. Does it feel to you that this team struggled when they are fully healthy? To your point. In that when everyone is available, they kind of really didn't know how to go about the rotations. Like, Najee hasn't played in a little bit here, yet there was a stretch where it was always Najee and Jose and not Hawkins or anybody else. Or, you know what I'm saying? It is interesting, right? Where it does feel like when everyone was healthy, is it maybe that they're so used to being not healthy that when they are healthy, they kind of really didn't know how to go about the things? I don't know. Do you think that's a real thing?
I always said it. I said it's Willie, because Willie doesn't know what he has and how to use it. You could have easily brought Brandon Ingram off the bench. Who's your best mid-range people, Gus? Zion and B.I., right? And when they end the game, they draw two or three people. Am I correct?
They tend to, yeah.
Yes. So wouldn't you put shooters around those guys? So whenever somebody pulls off, I have a shooter on the floor. I mean, we could sit around and throw this damn, oh, you know, if we had a point guard, we'd be better. No, you drafted Dyson Daniels as what, Gus? What did you draft Dyson as? A point guard, am I correct? Because he damn sure ain't a shooter, right?
In theory.
In theory. That's what you drafted him for.
Or defensive purposes.
You have a guy in Jordan Hawkins who I think can actually run the point guard, and he can shoot. And you have him sitting on the bench. And you didn't even bring him along this season to give him any experience. This is poor coaching, guys. We can look at the roster and break it down and, oh, if we had a better shot blocker. Well, guess what? When Jonas was in the game, we was up by 10. As soon as you put Larry and Nance in the game, I don't care if Larry gave you a double-double. You know what it took for Larry to give you a double-double? The other team getting 20 points over you. Okay? So let's stop it with all the roster thing. All we need is just – You know what you need to do? You need to take guys like Larry Nance, Najee Marshalls, all these guys that Willie Green uses as a crutch, and you need to send them out. And you need to get shooters on this team. The game has changed. And Gus, I'm a little disappointed in you to even bring up the national media saying, oh, even they know that we need a point guard. Really? They don't even know we're good. They don't even know that we got great talent.
Well, that's what I'm saying. All it took was one or two games to see. Maybe we do need a point guard.
Yeah. We don't need a point. I mean, what we need is a coach that knows how to use their players. We can say OKC has a point guard and say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but when he's not on the floor, who's their point guard? Yeah. There's really not a point guard on their team. There's the shooters on their team. They have guys that can shoot the ball, okay? I mean, any of these teams you can look at, Gus, it's not a point guard that's leading half of these teams. The team that won the championship last year, who's their point guard? Oh, they're five? Because he's the best passer on the team, am I correct?
I hear what you're saying.
And he won a championship, am I correct?
Well,
let's get off of the positional thing that the Pelicans need this and they need that. They need a damn coach. They need a guy that can coach them and use their players like they're supposed to use them. That's what I got to say about that.
All right. Cajun Goat.
But you gave him 3 years, David. You gave him 3 years. He's got three more years to disappoint us. So thank you.
Cajun Goat, when we come back, thank you for the phone call, sir. It is time to visit with Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
If you suffer from neck or back pain, get relief from the experts at Thibodeau Regional Spine Center. We'll start with an evaluation and develop a treatment plan just for you. We offer non-surgical treatment options and, if needed, minimally invasive surgery, which can mean a quicker recovery. Get relief from neck and back pain and get back to work and play with Thibodeau Regional Spine Center. Call 985-493-4501. 493-4501.
Hey.
Hey, you all right?
Man, I don't know. Lately, I've been feeling kind of off.
Might be because you've been vaping so much.
What do you mean?
You know how when dirt gets in the engine oil, it throws everything off?
Yeah.
The nicotine in vapes is like that. It's not meant to be in your body. It throws off your natural brain chemicals, which could make you feel jumpy, anxious, or even sad. So like that engine with the bad oil, your brain ain't running right.
It ain't right.
Keep your body running tobacco-free.
Learn more at BehindTheHazeLA.com.
Sponsored by Louisiana Department of Justice.
ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sportsbook of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. There is no better time to be a sports fan. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles.
Talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Jeff Boggs from our sister station KNAE joins us each and every day around this time to talk a little ESPN bets, some of the games, the Eastern Conference play-in games, the 7-8 and 9-10 matchups is today here as well. Sir, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Pleasure to join you on these afternoons. Bad news about Zion Williamson, though, huh?
Yeah, not good. If you just joined us, Zion Williamson out at least 2 weeks for the Pelicans with a left hamstring strain. You know what? Look, I know you look at a lot of futures. We talked yesterday with the NFL draft and futures, and there's prop bets for this Super Bowl, all this other stuff. Do you have anything on my Little League team scoring at least a run today? We have game two. Game one was last week. We had the flood last Wednesday, off Friday, by Monday. Game two's today. We lost 15-0 in game one. Will I be able to say we scored a run today?
You know, I don't have a prop bet on that, but I would guess that you're in trouble.
No!
I think it's going to be a long season. I'll bet on that.
Yeah.
I coached a Little League team once, actually a 9-year-old girls softball team, and it was a disaster, so don't feel bad.
Well, I just want to run. I just want to be able to score, because if I at least score, then I can say we're heading in the right direction. You know? Does that make sense?
There you go.
That's what
there you
go.
There's no prop bets on individual players.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. All right, let's do the Eastern Conference play-in games here, the 7-8 matchup. Heat and 76ers, man. I think the thing that's real interesting to me about this one, you have two members of Team USA basketball team there. Saw the video yesterday and this morning. Bam Adebayo for the Heat. He was presented with a jersey, and Joel Embiid was presented with the jersey as well, as he will be a member of Team USA in this year's Summer Olympics. But how will tonight's game go? The winner plays the New York Knicks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Again, Miami, the 8th in the East, and the 76ers, 7th in the East. Again, like last night, had the 7 seed won. They would be heading to that 7 spot, and that's what Philadelphia is hoping to do tonight. They're at home, 5.5-point favorites. The over-under, 207.5. Seems like a little low for this matchup. Money line, -215 for Philadelphia, +180 for Miami. Again, the 76ers have hit the third quarter game total under in 40 of their last 62 games, if you want to look at that kind of a prop bet. The Heat have hit the money line in 28 of their last 48 away games, +22.15 units, if you want to check out that. Why the 76ers may be able to cover, although listed as questionable, center Joel Embiid is expected to make the start. He scored 30 or more points in each of the last 3 games, also posting double-doubles. Friday, he, in the 125-113 win over Orlando, Embiid poured in 32 points, grabbed 13 boards, 7 assists. And look for point guard Tyrese Maxey to be a game-maker. He's also been a bit of a role for Philadelphia, reached double-digit scoring in 9 of the last 10 games, including a 52-point effort in that double overtime win over San Antonio back on April 7th. The Heat, though, last year, Jimmy Butler was playoff Jimmy, came alive in the postseason. Maybe he's primed to do the same this time around. He is tied with Tyler Hero as Miami's top scorer during the regular season in 60 games, all starts. Butler averaging nearly 21 points a game, better than 5 boards and 1.3 steals. Mm-hmm. Hero, he's also been red hot as of late, double figures in all six games since returning from injury. So again, in this game, tough to not predict Philadelphia at home on this one. Could be a tighter spread than that, though.
All right. Well, let's see what happens on that one. And then you got another interesting one coming up later on today here. And one of the games where when you look at, I guess, in matchups, I don't know, the Hawks and Bulls kind of move the needle or not. But it's almost like with the Hawks, this could be the last time you see Trae Young over there or, you know, some of their players. So, I don't know. What do you think? What do you see?
You know, 9 versus 10, it's almost – not a pickup game. Bulls are 3.5-point favorites at home. The over-under, 221.5, and money line, -145 for the Bulls. Atlanta, +125. Sunday, the Pacers blew out Atlanta, 157-115. Bulls have won 2 of their last 3 games, and again, the winner plays the loser of the earlier game, Heat versus 76ers. The Bulls have hit the team total over in 31 of their last 45 games. Atlanta, they've hit the 4-quarter under in 33 of their last 48 games. A couple of things to maybe think about why the Bulls might cover. Center Nikola Vucevic, top-tier rebounder and scorer in the low post. He's got the ability to score around the basket, not afraid to let it fly from beyond the arc. He was 10th in the league in rebounds, better than 10 this season, 18 points, 3.3 assists per game. Notched 45 double-doubles this season, so look for him to be a big playmaker tonight. But the Hawks may counter with DeJounte Murray. He excels attacking downhill, getting into the paint. He's got the bounce to soar high, power to finish through contact inside, averaging 22.5 points a game, 5.3 boards, better than 6 assists per game. Also averages 1.4 steals and shoots 36% from beyond the arc. And guard Bogdan Bogdanovic, versatile playmaker in the backcourt. Look for him to be big tonight on defense.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see what takes place here as well. I know there's a lot of chatter about that Western Conference Finals already between the the Nuggets and the Lakers, even though it's the first round. I'm going to be excited here once all the games get settled and see where the first and second round actions. I think the West is going to be pretty competitive, don't you? I mean, are you seeing kind of, when you look at ESPN bets, a lot more money or action going to the West or East, or do you think it's just kind of be even Stevens with both?
You know, the West seems to have been dominating in large part the last decade. Golden State a big part of that. But, you know, the one thing, I bet you a good portion of the league was rooting for the Pelicans last night to eliminate the Lakers because they're just a team, the experience, the power. If they can stay fairly healthy, and they haven't really been healthy all year, but if they can get enough rest, they could make a push in this postseason. I like so many others, I think Magic Johnson said, what do you mean? You don't tank to avoid number two Denver. Don't do that. They can make a run.
Yeah, we'll see what takes place, man. Hey, as always, appreciate it. We will talk again tomorrow, and we'll at least know what the situation will be with the 7th seed in the East and who will be the 8th seed game on Friday that will precede the Pelicans taking on the Kings. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the time, as always, sir.
You bet. Remember, ESPN Bet, ready to take you through all the huge moments this spring. Exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers, promotions from Scotty Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark. And, hey, the Kentucky Derby, just a couple of weeks away, started to see some lines there, and maybe we can talk about that in the approaching week. But, again, no better time to be a sports fan. New users, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. Got to be 21 or older, as always. And if you do have a gambling problem, please do something about it. Call 1-800-522-4700. Partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, bud. See you soon. See you tomorrow.
You bet.
800-998-1003 on the Rudiman Can caller and guest hotline. We're going to take a break. We come back hour three. Sean Fox, my only guest. It's been one of those days. If you're a Pels fan, not only did you not get the win yesterday, still got to win and get into the postseason, but you're not going to have Zion for the next 2 weeks. We'll continue next on ESPN New Orleans.